This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, David. We have on the line with us this morning the Ukrainian ambassador to Malaysia, His Excellency Mr. Ihor V. Humenyi. Good morning, Your Excellency. Let's talk about that deal that Prime Minister Najib brokered with separatists in Ukraine. It appeared that Putrajaya referred to Alexander Borodai, the self-proclaimed Prime Minister of rebel-held Donetsk, as His Excellency. Does this pose a problem for the Ukrainian government?
Actually, for the Ukrainian government, the most important at this stage to create the conditions for delivery the bodies to Netherlands, and practically this is already in the process, and this is good. As the question you actually put, it's the decision of the Prime Minister, so we're supposed to respect it.
Do you then just consider this lip service paid by Malaysia to the rebels then?
Sorry?
Do you consider it lip service that we only said what the rebels wanted to hear?
Practically, the rebels is the rebels. Necessary to behave with the rebels they deserve. And that's actually what I would like to say.
Your Excellency, why do you think the Malaysian government was successful in brokering this deal when so many others had failed?
I don't understand what you're saying, sorry.
Why was Malaysia and Prime Minister Najib successful in ensuring safe passage to the crash site and ensuring the handing over of the black boxes? Why were we successful when the Ukrainian government could not have ensured safe passage or even identified where the black boxes were?
Actually, the question is very simple. Practically, the Ukrainian army is in the conflict, in the military contract with these people. That's why it's much more difficult to negotiate with them. But the first information that they agree appeared earlier, before the last information. And as you understand, as it is was mentioned by the Prime Minister, there is also a lot of things which is under the scene.
Okay. Well, there was also the question, Your Excellency, about Ukrainian airspace. Now, do you think it was Ukraine's responsibility in ensuring the safety of that airspace? Why didn't government officials close off that airspace completely, especially since rebels had shown they had the ability to shoot down aircraft in that area? Why didn't the Ukrainian government shut off the airspace in Ukraine completely?
Why the Ukrainian government shut off the airspace completely?
Did not shut off the airspace completely?
No, it did not, because practically we have flights. You're actually supposed to understand that the plot of land, which is problematic and where is the combat actions are taking place, it's not so big. That's why in this area, in this particular two regions, the decision is to close, and which is done. But the biggest portion of the territory is just not closed, because there is no problems with that. And the territory of Ukraine is one of the biggest in Europe after Russia, actually the second. So there is no need, I think, according to what space agencies consider, to close the whole territory.
Well, I'm sorry, Your Excellency. I think there were several aircraft that was shot down the weeks before MH17 was shot down. So that clearly demonstrated that the rebels had the capacity to shoot down aircraft from whichever part of Ukraine. Why wasn't that airspace closed down?
You see, actually, the aircraft and the helicopters, which were shot down, as you were saying before, practically all of them, in its majority, all of them, were shot down when they were landing. And the rebels, they used just not very sophisticated armament to make this. That's actually what happened during the whole period. Just only a week ago, they managed to target and shut down the aircraft on the altitude about 6,000 kilometers. It's usual altitude for, let's say, military cargo aircraft.
Right.
That's why actually the decision was taken. The next The next, let's say, aircraft, unfortunately, it happened, it was commercial, civilian aircraft, and which is flying at all on the altitude of 10,000 meters. Mm.
There was also claims of, well, Russian claims, that a Ukrainian jet was flying close to MH17. And what they're saying is actually contradictory to what your president has claimed, that all Ukrainian aircraft were actually on the ground at that time. How would Ukraine respond to this then?
Actually, it's easy to control. Could be easily monitored from satellites and from other things. There is just a clear-cut response of those who had satellites that there is no aircraft in this area. At that stage, I mean, all our crafts, I mean, the fighters and everything else was on the ground.
So you deny that...
There is no any reason to fly on this height in this area.
So you deny that there was a Ukrainian military jet flying near MH17, and you deny that there was any, perhaps, a case of mistaken identity?
Absolutely, yes. It's wrong information.
Is this... Do you then think it could possibly be a case of mistaken identity with false intel? Perhaps the rebels were trying to shoot what they thought was a Ukrainian plane?
It is actually possible. I think they were, of course, hunting for Ukrainian aircraft, definitely. According to the information which was practically released by them themselves immediately, they were hunting for Ukrainian cargo aircraft.
Just a couple more questions, Your Excellency. Now, your Prime Minister has called this a global conflict, and it's no longer just between Ukraine and Russia. What does Ukraine want from the internationalization of this conflict? What are you hoping to get?
Actually, we would like to see receive the support and understanding of the international community and understanding of the people of the situation which our country now, because we in the conflict with one of the most powerful military country. That's actually the main understanding of the proposal and just practically the idea that, of course, there is some international features now appeared because the people which were not at all involved in that, unfortunately, they passed away.
I understand also, Your Excellency, that you're going to attend an emergency parliament sitting today to give a briefing. What are you intending to present the Malaysian parliament?
Sorry.
What will you be presenting at this emergency parliament sitting today?
I will not actually participate in that. I just will. There will be the briefing of the Prime Minister, so I myself will not talk English.
I understand.
I just will be listening.
Okay.
Just listening.
All right. Thank you so much for spending time with us this morning. That was the Ukrainian ambassador to Malaysia, His Excellency, Mr. Ihor V. Humenyi. I'm Melissa Idris for Current Affairs this morning on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.